Welcome to the podcast. My name is Jamie Knight, and I am a realtor from Cajun Country, Lafayette, Louisiana. The goal of this podcast is to bring massive value by bringing insider access to our area's top agents and from agents around the South. My hope is that you take a few things away from their experiences to grow your own business. Y'all, I'm so excited to welcome top Baton Rouge realtor and one of the hosts of the Hustle Humbly podcast, friend to all agents, Alyssa Jenkins. Alyssa, welcome to the podcast.
Hey, I'm so excited to be here, and I'm excited to be the one being interviewed today.
Yeah, absolutely. It feels a little different being on this side of the microphone, I guess, right? But
it does. It's kind of like when you're a seller yourself and you're selling your own house for the first time in a while. It's that good reality check you need of what your clients go through.
Yeah.
This is good, though. I'm excited.
Good. So that's what I'm excited to hear, too, because I love y'all's podcast and I listen to it and I recommend it highly to all agents and really to all of our listeners as well. But I really wanted to dive into Alyssa, right? I wanted to hear your story and your identity and what has created this amazing realtor and top realtor that you are today. So take us to a little bit of the background and how you got into the real estate business and like where you are now in your journey.
Yeah. I mean, I'm going to take you all the way back to high school. How about
that?
Let's
go. I love
when I was trying really hard to love soccer because I was not terrible at it. And I was on the soccer team and I saw all the other girls loved soccer. I just didn't care that much about it. Like if you want the ball that bad, you may have it. Which is funny because I consider myself now to be a competitive person, but I just never could get into loving any sort of sport. And so when I turned 15, I got my very first job at Raising Cane's.
Love it.
And because I was not 16, I could not talk to customers or anything, but I could make lemonade and I could make cane sauce and I could do stuff like that. And 2 weeks after I started that job, when I got my first $62 paycheck, it was like the heavens opened up. And I went, oh my gosh, why would I ever play soccer again? I could be here every day after school. Do you know how much money I could make? And so that just led to the beginning of my working life. And I had so many jobs, all service industry and hospitality related through high school and college. And I did so many different things. I never had a job I didn't like. Every job I ever had, I loved it. So I just assumed my mother is very corporate America. Always had a corporate job, 9 to 5. My dad is a real estate appraiser, and he worked with his dad, who was also a real estate appraiser. And my dad was the one who had more flexibility and would come to field trips and things like that. Well, I figured because I love work so much and didn't really care what kind of work, that I would go to college, get a business degree, find some really huge corporation, start there, never leave, work my way to the top. That was my plan.
Gotcha.
So I went to college. I got my MBA. As I was approaching graduating from grad school, I thought the world will be my oyster because I will have the master's in business administration. And I sent out my resume and I was highly disappointed in the job options out there. I'm like typical, you know, Gen whatever I am, 90s kid. I must have been a little entitled because I'm thinking, I have an MBA and these are the terms of the position. I'm okay working my way up, but this is like real sad. So sad. So as I'm going through these corporate job interviews, about to finish grad school, my grandfather, who was still doing appraisals, passed away. And I told my dad, look, I'm just going to get my appraiser's license and help you while I'm figuring out what I'm doing with my life. I went to get my appraiser's license and realized it takes 3 years. So over Christmas break, I got my real estate license in 3 weeks instead, while I was simultaneously working on my appraiser's license to help my dad. Well, you know, you get your real estate license. I really just wanted MLS, Supra, like how can I help him as much as I can? But my broker that I had to go place my license with, you know, this was in 2011. So this was a minute ago when there wasn't a ton of young people in the industry.
Right. Yeah.
I was 22, but I looked like I was 12 at that time, back in 2011. And I sat down with my broker, who is still my broker to this day. So in a way, I kind of stuck to my plan, you see. I picked a company. I stayed there. I worked my way to the top. But she said, look, I know you're kind of just doing this to help your dad, but you're very friendly. You're very confident. And you have this sphere of people all graduating with their MBA that are about to go get jobs and buy their first house. And I really think you'd be good at real estate, and I think you should give it a shot. So I did. I told my parents, I'm going to give real estate a year. I want to see how it goes. And it went great. Now, my disclaimer is I think it went great because when I sat down with my broker, I had sat down with two others as well because my dad told me I needed to be smart and interview because this wasn't really an interview. They're not interviewing you. They want you. They don't care if you're dumb or smart. The brokers will hire you. And I was like, oh, this is not what I am used to. I'm used to these corporate job interviews. And he's like, no. He's like, you're interviewing them. They're going to hire you. Right. I was like, okay, this is weird, you know? And sure enough, I went to the first one. And they promised me the moon and the stars and all the money in the world and how the sky is the limit. And I drank the Kool-Aid and I left there pretty dang excited. And maybe would have even signed with them had my dad not warned me about this disclaimer. But I knew I had another interview. And the second interview went similar. And then the last interview I had was with my broker now, Miss Connie Kyle. And she said, you know, real estate is pretty hard. And I went, you're kind of the first person that's told me that. And she said, you really need to have a business plan. Are you married? Do you have savings? How do you plan to support yourself while you're starting up your real estate business? It could take 1 to 3 years before you see consistent income. And all of a sudden, my business brain got turning and I went, I am in fact looking for a career. I am not looking for something like just fun and lackadaisical. And I think when she talked to me like a businesswoman, I was very intrigued and realized not everybody can do this and realized I needed to have a plan. I needed to accept that it was going to be hard. And I think that first year is so hard. Nobody wants to use you, especially when you look like you're 12.
Right.
And then I'm seeing family members and friends, all these people in my life using other agents because they just weren't ready to trust me, which I was very emotionally fragile that first year and went through a lot of rejection. But it was almost like every time something bad happened, I went, she said this would happen. She said, this is how it was going to go. And if I stick with it, it takes 3 years.
Yeah.
But she said the clock doesn't start ticking on that 3 years until you're doing what you're supposed to be doing, running it like a business. So if you've been in the business 8 years and it's not going well, it may be that your 3-year timer hasn't even started because you're not running your business like a business. That's awesome. The clock hasn't even started. So anywho, a little fast forward, I did get my appraiser's license. My dad was so excited that one of his 3 daughters was a real estate appraiser, you know, actually a 4th generation because my great grandmother was also an appraiser. And I hated it and I didn't know what to do because I love my dad so much. And thankfully, my middle sister, who is a nurse, came to me one day and said, I really don't want to pick up extra shifts as a nurse for more money. Would you be upset if I got my appraiser's license and worked with dad in between my 3 12-hour shifts a week? And I went,
absolutely.
You're my answer. This is what we need. We just need another one of us, because yeah, both of my sisters are nurses. I thought, I'm the only one. So anywho, I dropped my appraiser's license. My sister now has hers all these years later. She works with my dad. And I have been strictly a realtor for many, many years, and very thankful not to be an appraiser anymore. But every year just got better and better and better. And it makes me nervous to think I almost missed it.
Absolutely. The almost missed is huge. You know, I drive by the building that I applied at and went through several job opportunities and was super bummed that I didn't get this job working at this chemical company when I graduated in industrial technology. And it's like, you know, I'm just so thankful when I drive by that building. I'm like, thank God they said no to me, because yes, now I'm in real estate and I'm enjoying what I do all day, every day, and getting to, you know, lead agents and help agents all over the country. And just getting to do what we do is so awesome. Not only just even just selling real estate, but both of us, you know, even just getting to love on agents and help use our stories to help encourage other agents to help them come up with a business plan or come up with a way that they can actually get a plan, because somebody probably like you maybe had joined that first broker that promised them the world and all the shiny objects, and they dove in on that. And then now they're just here now. Okay, maybe I should get a business plan 5 6 years in the business after closing 100 Zillow leads and all these other things, you know? So exactly. I guess let's talk about, if I'm a new agent, or I'm even, like you said, an agent who's struggling right now, what things do you think are super important to be able to put into place as far as like running your real estate business like a business? So let's talk about some base level stuff. Let's talk about maybe a foundation of what it should be as far as like running a business.
Absolutely. The biggest thing about real estate is that agents love to say they're self-employed. And I don't know about you, but I feel like I have a lot of bosses, especially when you're busy and you're catering to many different buyers, many different sellers. If you were constantly unavailable, you would be unemployed. So right. I do believe in boundaries, as anybody that listens to the podcast knows, but I also believe in good business practices and being responsive and helpful to your clients. Without the people, you have no business. There's no business. I don't buy 100 houses a year. They do. My clients do. So without the people, you have nothing. And the one of the first things that my broker told me to do when I was brand new was to give her a Excel spreadsheet with 250 names and addresses. She said, if you give that to me, we will make announcement cards for you and mail them out on your behalf saying, welcome Alyssa Jenkins to this company. She can help you with all of your real estate needs. And then it really kind of gave me some backing, like the company has been around for decades and these are our stats and we're ready to make Alyssa successful, which makes you successful. It was a great card.
Love it.
And I had no money. I'm waiting tables before this through school. So I'm like, if they're going to pay for this, you better bet I'm going to do it. It was hard. I made it to like 75 people. And then I thought, I just don't know anybody else. I had to really dig deep and think back and get creative. And like all my friends that were on there, I realized about half of these people, I know their parents pretty well. So then I went to messaging, hey, what's your parents' address? Are they still in town? How are they? I was not selling anything. You know, everyone's like, oh, I could never do that. That would be so salesy. And I'm like, you're scared of your friends and their parents? Like, I don't understand right. This mindset. So I gathered that information. And then, you know, I'm still not there just yet. And I'm digging deeper and going back to every professor I had in college and emailing them, asking them for their address. And I'm just doing what I can to get to 250. Because if they're going to pay for 250, I'm not sending in 200. I'm going to get my money's worth.
Right.
And while I thought that that postcard was going to be the magic thing, it was not, but it was helpful. What was the magic thing was having a spreadsheet with 250 people on it that I had reached out to. If I could tell a new agent to do only one thing, it would be to have a database. It doesn't need to be a fancy CRM. So many agents that I talk to and meet with feel like they don't want to even start it until they know what CRM, what magic CRM is going to be the perfect one. And, you know, even if you find the perfect one, technology is ever changing. So it's going to change. But you know what has never changed since 2011? My spreadsheet. It is the same. I've never had to go through a software reboot or an app update or anything like that because I just have all of my people in this spreadsheet. I think you said you had interviewed Scott Gaspard in my market. Yeah. Mm-hmm. He cracks me up with his notebook. You know, yeah, he's older than me and he has his notebook of people. Right. Yes. Yes. And like, that's the real estate Bible for y'all. Baby.
Yeah.
Yes. And you know, that's a really good point too, is that, you know, the only CRM that works is the one that you will actually use.
I love it. I say that all the time. You know, let's not get caught up on shiny object syndrome. Like, get a notebook that you had from middle school and start writing in it, you know, and start making notes and to-do lists and who you need to talk to. And you know, I love the iPhone for that too. Like if I have an idea of somebody that I know I need to talk to, I'll just grab my notes section and say, hey, call Alyssa. I just thought of something she needs to hear. I add her to that and then I add her to my notebook when I'm at the office.
And I think something you just said that is so important, especially when you're talking to a top producing agent, we do a lot of volume. I have children. I also have friends and family and a life. So many agents have good intentioned ideas that never happen. They never make that phone call. They never send that handwritten letter to that person that's been on their mind. And it's because they think they're going to remember to do it later.
Yeah.
And we're not. Like if I do not write it down somewhere, it is not getting done. Whether it's in my calendar or if I email myself or I put it in the notes of my phone, it must be somewhere in order for me to get it done.
Absolutely. 100%. Yeah. You mean you got to get it out into the universe. And I love just saying like something that just gets out is better than something perfect that never gets out. I feel like a lot of realtors are like, this is my brand and it's my business and everything else. I don't care. Like make the phone call. You know, make the contact, put the mailer out, right? Even if it's not perfect or whatever, just get it out. You know, I mean, that postcard that you sent out, like it wasn't a perfect postcard, but it was the process that you went through to create the opportunity of connecting with people was the important part of the process. So I love that you had the wherewithal to think about that like that, even as a new agent, because, you know, so a new agent could potentially be like, man, I did all this work and I did 250 postcards and then like nobody called me.
Well, you know? There is a part two to that story. While I was kind of unbeknownst to myself building my database, because I was focused on this free postcard. That's all I cared about. It goes out and I'm just waiting.
Yeah,
waiting for the phone to ring. Things are about to happen and nothing happened. I think I got like two messages from like my grandma being like, we're so proud of you, honey. And I'm like, oh gosh. But I did go back to my broker and I was like, so it's been like 3 weeks since the postcard went out. Like, do they call? What typically happens next?
Do they mail me something back? What
right. What do we do now? And the look on her face was so, like, she was pitying me. Like, oh, sweet thing. Here we are.
Here you go.
She was like, you know, you have nothing but time. At this time, I was not married. I had no kids. I was just living in the office on phone duty, which was actually also going pretty well in 2011 and 2012. But she said, while you are in that phone duty cubby where you live these days for hours upon end, I'm going to give you an assignment that might take you 2 or 3 months. And I was like, okay. She said, now that they have received your formal announcement from us, every person on that database needs to get a handwritten letter from you. And I was like, oh, what would it say? And she said, I just think it needs to be friendly and personal. And I think it needs to say something about, you may have received the postcard from my new company. I'm very excited about this. No one's going to work harder than me. I would be so thankful if you kept me in mind. And she said, and then just pick one thing about that person. Maybe it's how you know them. Maybe something that lets them know you wrote this to them. And my favorite one, because she goes, for example, she had my database. She said, what about Miss Sally? And I immediately smiled because Miss Sally was my best friend's mom. And I lived at Miss Sally's house like most weekends my junior and senior year of high school. And Miss Sally was like always commenting on how much I ate. She was like, I have to make 2 pots of macaroni because Alyssa's here. You know, she's so funny. And so in her letter, I said, I know it may be weird to think of me as a professional when you used to make me 2 boxes of macaroni for dinner, but here I am. I have grown up and I would love your support as I enter this next chapter. So that's just an example. Like I try, of course, they're not all that witty and funny, but I tried to say like to my dentist, you know, like I'm still flossing. Ha ha. Yeah,
cavity free.
I'm just being light and friendly, not too stuffy, not salesy, just letting them know this is just a follow up. And I just want to say, you know, I look forward to maybe our paths crossing again professionally in the future. So that did take me about 2 months and my hand was so tired and I was like, I think I'm getting carpal tunnel. I haven't written this much. But when those letters went out, I got responses.
Nice.
That's when people started reaching out and being like, because I wrote it, you know, right. I got your letter. It was so good to hear from you. I will certainly keep you in mind. And then it's just our job to say, thank you so much. How are you doing? What are you up to? I had more fun learning about what everybody else was doing through that process. And after I wrote those letters, it clicked for me that this database thing is the way to go. I mean, I just talked to all these people I haven't spoken to, some of them in a decade. So it's pretty cool that this spreadsheet allows me to do that.
Yeah, absolutely. Totally love that. And that's the same way that I grew my business back in the day. Just really loving on your people and your past clients and having connections with people. I love to go on social media and see something that they put out into the world that they're proud of. And then call them on it and say, hey, I saw little Johnny's graduating from high school. How's he doing? Where's he going to college? Is he going to LSU? Is he going across the bridge, right? Or is he going to UL or whatever? So it's, I like to have that connection. And that's them putting that information out in the world and saying, hey, ask me about it, right? Or they may be having a new baby or a new grandbaby or something. And that gives you the excuse to build that connection, right? So I love the idea of like really building those connections. But let's talk about some ways as well, because I know I use a weekly email and you guys do a lot when it comes to email. So let's talk about extending that good feeling now that you've had those letters, you have those feelings, those good feelings with people. How do we extend that now to a long-term play with these people? What kind of things are you doing to reach your friend's mom that, you know, made 2 boxes of macaroni for you? What are you doing to reach those people?
So I would say 2 things are my method, if you will. The first is that because everybody's in a spreadsheet, I just go down the list in 10-minute increments at a time as I have time. I'm definitely in there every closing, updating people, adding my new client. Did their address change? Did I meet anybody new during this transaction, like a dad that came to a showing? I want him in my database. I met him. So I'm in there. And then as I have time, I just go down the list and touch base with them. And when I stop, I highlight the name that I stopped at. And when I pick it up next time, I know where I left off and I start with that person. So I just go down the list. And these contacts are not these crazy, scary, salesy phone calls that people think they are. Sometimes it is me going to their social media and writing a really nice comment on the last thing that they said, or going to their social media, seeing what they posted and saying, is it worth a phone call to say, hey, I can't believe he graduated. Where is he going to college? Right? If they're not on social media, it may be good to just shoot them a text and say, hey, I was showing houses in your neighborhood a few weeks ago. It made me think of you. How are y'all doing? What's new? It could be picking up the phone. It could be handwriting them just a little note. I don't care what it is, but it is not elaborate and it's very simple and it's quick. It's a quick, simple touch. Just something that says, Alyssa is here in my life. Okay. Then I go to the next name and I do the same thing. Then I go to the next name. And so by the time I get to the end of my database, it usually takes me about 2 to 3 months to get through the spreadsheet. And then you start back over at the top and do it again. You just are there in their life maybe like once a quarter, which people move every 7 to 8 years. So I feel like once a quarter for me to check in an intentional way is enough for me to stay top of mind. But then I do also use my database to send my Christmas card. And it's a family Christmas card. It's not a realtor Christmas card of me holding a big key with a Santa hat. Okay. It's like a normal person card. And then I also do a mass mail out of LSU football schedules.
Right.
Those are like my top two things. And then lastly, outside of the database, I also just have the free MailChimp that allows you to have as many, not as many, but more than I need, free email addresses in there. And so all my database people, their email address is in there. But I also put any random people's emails that I get in there as well. The email list is more quantity over quality is okay. Whereas my database is very like quality over quantity. Gotcha. I know these people. But what I love about the email list is that if I found like a piece of good news that I just wanted to tell people, I just email them. It looks like it came from me. It doesn't have a header. I don't use a template for it in the MailChimp system. I'm literally just saying, hey, my power washer just told me he's doing $50 off of driveway cleanings. If you need that, tell him I sent you. Here's his number. And then in my email signature, it says Alyssa Jenkins Realtor. But I never said, are you looking to buy or sell a house? Do you need anything? What, you know, like it's strictly me providing value, but they know I'm a realtor because they know, and it's in my email signature. And this email is not something to be deleted. It's like, oh, wow, that was really thoughtful. Maybe they forward it to someone.
Yeah.
So that's what I use my email list for. So between just the individual check-ins on my database and then sharing important, valuable things via email, that's all I really do. It's been going great.
I love that. The same things that worked for you back in 2000, what did you say, 11 or so, are working now. And I've been in the business since 2004. So like the same things that worked for me back in 2004 is still the same thing that works for me in 2025, which is totally crazy. I mean, there are some layers to it, right? Like I do feel like I use social media to kind of keep up with my past clients more than I use social media to kind of get business. I kind of use it from the mindset of like I'm speaking to the people that love me like me would use me again. So I love social media from that aspect of it. And I am careful about getting on there and spending too much time scrolling and going down the rabbit hole of all that stuff. Because I feel like if realtors would kind of use social media like that, where they're just reaching their people, speaking to them, I feel like that's a really good way to do what you're doing and extend that good feeling and share a family picture of, you know, you and your son at the baseball field or whatever. And it's just a good way to extend that feeling and have an extra touch and an extra line with them.
Agents seem so very stressed out about social media these days, rightfully so. Everywhere you look, there are coaches and ads saying, if you're not doing this, you're not going to make it in this business. And that's scary. And I think agents are putting so much pressure on their content. Content is such a big word. Has to be pretty. Brand colors. What's my logo look like? Is it consistent? How are my squares? What do we look like here? And if anybody is really struggling with this, I always tell people my challenge to you would be don't post anything for 30 days. For 30 days, all I want you to do is go in and comment and like and DM and support all the people that you follow. Because everybody is worried about how many likes and comments they're getting. And we know how it feels when someone comments on our stuff. Be that person that is just constantly commenting and supporting and sharing what other people are doing. And you will be amazed at the social connections that you make way more than what you posted.
Yeah. Yeah, because people care about who, right? They care about themselves, right? I always say people care, but they care mostly about themselves. You know, it's kind of like what I like to say. But Alyssa, we blew through 30 minutes, like no problem, because I feel like we're like cut from the same cloth, right? We're doing business the same way. We're loving on our clients the same way. We're trying to put out good energy and love into the world. So I am going to close the podcast with basically the same question that I ask all agents, right? Speak to an agent who is struggling right now in their business. Maybe they're on their last month before they got to call it quits, or maybe they're on their last stretch before they can kind of hang it up. But speak to that agent who's struggling right now. Give them a little bit of encouragement and then we'll close it out.
Yeah, I mean, I have great news for those agents. The best tools in the business cost you no money at all. No money. So if you're struggling financially, you're not sure if you're going to make it, I want you to go cancel all the shiny things that you are paying for that promised you success, because clearly they're not working. And I want you to go out into the real world, go to your kids' school, be the homeroom mom, be the person at church that volunteers for everything. And I want you to take the next 30 days before you call it quits and see how many real life people you can be in front of and talk to, and maybe even exchange phone numbers and get their information. You would be amazed at what some consistency of talking with people will do, not only for your business, but gosh, for your soul. You will, if you can cut out all that stuff, you know, all the sparkly things that people say that we should be doing, and you should not let anybody should on you, and you just go out there and love on the people, you will make it if you can give it the right amount of time and consistency.
I love that. Absolutely great advice. And I love what you guys are putting out. And I highly recommend everybody go check out their podcast, the Hustle Humbly podcast. We're going to put the details and some ways that you can go check out their podcast, what they're doing. They've got some amazing things they're doing. So Alyssa, thank you so, so much for joining me about 45 minutes down the road from Lafayette out in Baton Rouge. Thank you so much for joining me on the podcast.
Yes, I enjoyed this so much. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Well, guys, do us a favor, like our podcast, share this episode with a realtor friend that may need some encouragement right now. We launch a brand new audio version of our podcast on Monday mornings on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, all the audio platforms. And I hope that you guys have an amazing day.